On Steve House joining us now. Mr. House, how are you today?
I'm good. Actually, you guys were making me think about, you know, great name for a car, and a car I'd love to own is the Whispering Ghost, which was the original Rolls.
Yes.
And when you look at that Rolls Royce made out of silver or stainless steel or whatever, that car was not only beautiful, it probably weighed five times as much as a car today, but that was an amazing vehicle.
Yes, agree. And they still build some very fabulous vehicles today. Granted, they're very expensive, but they built some very nice vehicles.
Yeah, that car was, the original marketing on that car was you could put a cup of tea on it, and you could put it to maximum RPM sitting still, and the tea wouldn't spill. That's just amazing.
Yep, sure is. All right, we got a lot to talk about. Always a lot to talk about when you're on. And I wanted to play something for you to sort of get this kicked off, if you would. And I'm sure you've already heard this clip. Maybe not. I don't know whether you've heard this or not. But let me get this queued up here. Charlie, hang on. I got to plug my mic. Sorry, I was listening to this earlier to make sure that it would actually play. We had some issues, everyone, yesterday where we had a little – and we don't know. It could have been Twitter not allowing us to play certain things. I mean, in this day and age, you just – never know, and this is kind of going to prove my point here with the clip I'm going to play. So this is Jen Psaki, and I believe this was earlier today, if I'm not mistaken, Steve, but here we go. I'll play it.
With these social media platforms, and those engagements typically happen through members of our senior staff, but also members of our COVID-19 team. Given, as Dr. Murthy conveyed, this is a big issue of misinformation, specifically on the pandemic. In terms of actions, Alex, that we have taken, or we're working to take, I should say, from the federal government, we've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. We're working with doctors and medical professionals to connect to connected medical experts who are popular with their audiences with accurate information and boost trusted content. So we're helping get trusted content out there. We also created the COVID community core to get factual information into the hands of local messengers.
All right, I'll leave it at that. Steve, is this the proper role of government?
Absolutely not, especially since that it's against the law to have an EUA, emergency use authorization, on a drug and have people promote it as being safe. You're not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say anything about whether it's safe or not while it's under EUA. It has to be under and approved by the FDA before you can declare it safe. So they're violating their own laws, first of all. And secondly, it's not the role of government, especially since we know what they're going to do. They're going to monitor your text messages, and if you're texting information they don't like, they're going to intervene. And you know what? I don't think they're going to get to the point, hopefully, where, you know, they're forcing people to put out messages contradicting themselves or forcing them to take vaccines, but this is another in a war with the American people that's escalating very rapidly.
Yeah, when Richard sent me this earlier this morning, as you know, I was in jury duty this morning, and as Richard sent me this morning, my initial comment back was, this is what the North Koreans, Chinese, and Russians do to their people, and I guess even the Cubans, I could say that as well. This is what happens in those countries, not the United States of America.
Well, yeah, you know what they do in China, right? They have a game system, a scoring system, so as a citizen, you get a score
based
on your
social score.
Right, a social score, and they've been using that for a while now. I mean, if we're going to go to that route, and I think that we're not far away from it, I don't think the government under Biden is afraid of anything at this point.
No, Steve, I agree with everything you're saying. I think you're spot on, and we have got to push back and resist this. And anytime I hear something like this, I just think to myself, A, like you said, this is a huge overstep of their powers, and number two, some of this stuff, and you and I talk about it on a regular basis, we're going to talk about it today some of this is very subjective. In other words, the jury is still out in a lot of these areas where, you know, Jen Psaki and the like will tell you flat out, this is a fact, when in fact it's not.
It is absolutely not a fact. And the fact that there's so much coordination, I mean, this is like anything else, right? I mean, eventually if there's a crime committed and a whole bunch of people know the crime is being committed, people start to talk about it, and we're seeing so much, whether it's Gavi and the vaccine guys who set up incentives 10 years ago so that, you know, doctors would get paid $500 extra if a 2-year-old had gotten all 10 of the vaccines they wanted, trying to incentivize adults with vaccines, you know, pushing beyond the rules of EUAs. I mean, and then try to wedge out all the treatments for COVID that exist from, you know, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and some of the rational antivirals. I mean, there's so many ways to solve this, and they're trying to kill it all in favor of control. And that's the only thing I think it can be, John, is right. They're trying to control us completely.
You and I have talked back and forth quite a bit this last, you know, couple of weeks on this very subject, and I agree with you. I just don't see any other bottom line to this other than this is a huge control factor being pushed out by the powers that be. And in this case, that's the White House and the folks that are on the far left. And Steve, I'm just confused as to why we as a populace have given them this much power and why we haven't resisted before. Now, there's still very little resistance out there.
Yeah, I know. And this was a very big topic of conversation over the weekend because I was actually in a spiritual setting, talking to some folks who are just, you know, good Christians like I am. And, you know, everybody came back with sort of the same conclusion, which is we're trying to be told not to fight because fighting is politically incorrect. So you take away, in the Christian sense, you take away Onward Christian Soldier, you take away Battle Hymn of the Republic. You don't sing those songs anymore because they're an implication that there's evil in the world and you have to fight it. What you're really supposed to do is be quiet and go along and not rock the boat. And, you know, we've got, you know, people who are fact-checking us who are clearly biased in what they're doing. It's time to fight. It's long past time to fight.
Agree.
And if we don't do it, we're going to get stuff that we never even dreamed yet.
When did it become, because I don't know the answer to this, Steve, when did it become acceptable in, you know, Christian circles and conservative circles to, you know, literally, you know, stop fighting for fear that we would be labeled some sort of a, you know, whack job or, you know, somebody that's way out there on their beliefs or what have you, when in fact, you know, I can go all the way back in time, even to when Christ walked this earth, and there wasn't anything about Jesus Christ himself that wasn't polarizing. He was, at the time, the most polarizing individual on the planet, and in a lot of ways started the ruckus itself. He did that in the temple. There was nothing mealy-mouthed about this guy whatsoever, and yet as a church, we're the opposite of that today.
I know, and it's the political correctness comes in all forms, right? So some of it is, you know, if a few people ostracize you from society because, you know, you're talking the talk that you should be talking and saying, look, you know, critical race theory can't be taught in our schools. It's wrong. It's improper. It's not historically correct. You know, I think there's only two genders, two as far as I know. If you think you are not a man and you were born a man, I don't have a problem with that. But don't tell me that there's seven different genders because there's not.
Right.
And you have to start embracing the truth and fighting for the truth. If you don't do that, we lose. It's kind of like we sort of soft shoot our way in the hopes that the middle in this country will give us what we want, which is to win elections, but that's not what the middle wants. Mm. The middle doesn't want a soft shoe. The middle wants the truth.
Right.
They want safety. They want to connect to the Christian values that they have. And we're losing on the Republican side because we're not strong enough.
I agree. And by the way, that happened on the church's side of the fence even before it happened to the Republicans. Unfortunately, it's now happened on both sides. And again, I go all the way back in time to when Christ walked the earth, and you can read story after story to what you just said, Steve, is exactly what was happening even in biblical times. People were hungry. They wanted the truth. They didn't want something watered down and washed up. Yeah, there are those out there that get offended by the truth. Well, you know what? So be it. There's an old saying, sometimes the truth hurts. Oh, well.
Yeah, I know. And when you think about it, when you really think about it, guys like David fighting Goliath and, you know, Saul and the different people who fought battles, Daniel, Aaron,
right,
Moses, you know what it really comes down to is they were fighting evil. And, you know, it's not all about religion. It's about right and wrong.
Right.
And religion's a good moral founding for that. But
right,
in reality, they were fighting evil. If you pacify your...
Nope, we lost Steve. Tell you what, we'll get him back. Charlie, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And I think Steve must have gone into a big dead hole driving someplace. No problem. We'll get him on as soon as we can. And his comments about how we just don't fight anymore like we once did. Folks, true statement. And I'm not saying that, you know, we need to, you know, how do I want to frame this? I think at one point in time, even the church got to the point where it was such hellfire, brimstone. Everybody was tired of hearing it. They were tired of hearing really the quote unquote fighting, if you would, that in a way, and Charlie, you know, give me a nod if I'm thinking correctly or not. But I think because of that, they went so far the other way and wanted to be so palatable, maybe is the right word to use, that we as, you know, Christians and churches lost a lot of that fight, quote unquote, because we wanted to be more accepted in mainstream America. That's my own thought process, folks. I could be completely wrong in that, but I really feel like, and I've said this numerous times, and I'll continue to say it, a lot of what happens in this country is driven by what happens in the church. And when it comes to where we're at as conservatives, politically speaking, a lot of that was driven by the church. And what I mean by that is, you know, for ages. In fact, when I was a kid, and Charlie will attest to this, being involved in politics and inside the church at the same time was almost taboo. You know, you were supposed to be a Christian and stay out of politics. Let the politicians do their thing. Let the business guys do their thing. And as Christians, you do your thing. Yeah, Charlie just said in my ear, you didn't even talk about politics in the church when he and I were kids. And I know that that's part of what drove some of what we have going on today in America, in politics. We took not only politics out of the church, but when we did that, we took the church out of politics. And we wonder why we now have, and Steve said it a moment ago, you know, 7, 10, 100 plus genders, which there's only two, but we've got people out there thinking there's more than that. You know, we have got things so screwed up, so backwards, if you would. And I blame a lot of that on the church. We did not stand up, and I say we collectively. There's no one particular denomination, no one particular person, no one particular pastor that did that, but collectively, we failed. And that's my own belief system. Steve, I don't know if you heard any of what I just said a moment ago, but I really feel like, you know, when the church took politics out of it, we also took the church out of politics, and then we wonder why we are where we are today.
Yeah, if you got a moral problem, where do you go to find and adjudicate morality? And it's from the church, it's from the books that go with all of the major religions. And I think, you know, we've lost that. And I think for us, trying to be politically correct and not talk about God, well, look at what's going on with the left. I mean, Joe Biden is paying for abortions around the world. He's treating people so poorly relative to what the moral standards are. And it keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
Right, right. No, and by the way, what you just said is very true, that, you know, the church's number one mission should have been, and I still believe is, to be that moral compass, not just of a country, but of the world that is out there. That's our mandate. That's what Scripture says, and we've lost that. And folks listening, whether you're a Christian or not, the reality is you can see from a country that when we start to lose our moral compass, which we as a country, Steve, I think have been losing for the last, you know, 50-plus years, when we start to lose that moral compass, you can see what happens. It just goes hand in hand. And whether you're a Christian or not, it's the truth. It's what happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, every other form of government besides, you know, a capitalist economy is a form of government where God's in the way. You know, socialism, communism,
right.
You know, you're fighting against the words that God, you know, of God that were taught to you when you were a child, if you went to church, and if you understood what the basics of how this country was formed. All those other forms of government require that you get rid of God, and I think the Democratic Party is fighting against God right now. They're trying to tell you that you are weak if you believe in God rather than letting the government and Joe Biden and his team tell you what you should do, including what we saw in that executive order, which was just insane.
Right. Well, there's a known fact, and maybe folks listening know this or don't know this, but really, Steve, at least for me, the definition always has been, you know, sin is anything that comes between you and God and or becomes a God replacement. And I think the way the Democrats are looking at this is, number one, they don't want you believing in God. They want you believing in them. They have become, quote unquote, the replacement for God. And so, you know, the way I look at that is, if that's you and that's your belief system, you, in fact, are, I believe, sinning when you place government in the place of God.
Well, yeah, and you know what? You can name three major places on this planet where someone else is doing it. China, Kim Jong-un in Korea, Vladimir Putin in Russia, and their human rights violations are legendary.
Yep.
And yet somehow we think it's okay to follow that pattern. That is really wrong. If we don't stand up as Republicans at the risk of losing every election and saying to people, look, there's right and wrong here, and we've gotten into a gray area, and it shouldn't be gray.
Right, right. Yeah, to me, there is no gray. This is really pretty cut and dried. I know there's some gray areas out there and some fringe things, Steve, but that is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the core. The core is black and white. And, you know, when it comes to certain things that we talk about, social issues especially, you know, abortion, gender, you know, homosexuality and the like. I mean, the reality is there is no gray area. It is cut and dried. It's black and white.
I know. And this vaccine is another. I think
I look at it as black and white as well.
It is black and white, but it's also a driving element beyond something we've seen recently, you know, maybe in our lifetime even, where you've got this vaccine, which is not approved by the FDA, which actually isn't necessary for most people. And not only are they trying to coax you to take it, illegally coax you with safety stuff, they're pushing it. They're going to have to send people to your door. Why would you do that? We talked about this earlier in our emails this week. Why would someone be pushing this so hard when there's about 230 deaths a day? Yeah, nobody likes deaths, but in reality, there's 2,400 deaths a day in the U.S. from heart disease.
Right.
No one's pushing on fixing heart disease like
no.
this.
No.
Why are they pushing this thing when it's not approved? It's got side effects. Their strategies are crazy. They're spending billions of dollars to try to convince you to take an experimental vaccine and telling you you're wrong if you don't.
To me,
That's
Steve,
crazy.
there's you know, several things here going on, and it could be that they're all dovetailing into one another, and hear me out here. One, I do think this is a control issue, and it's a way for them as government to gain more control over our lives. If they can get people to do exactly what they want to do in your life versus what you want to do in your life, they've gained a leg up. So I think that's one factor of it. The other thing I often wonder is, you know, is there more to what happened in Wuhan than we know? In other words, do the powers that be, do the Faucis of the world know that this thing, you know, can mutate and turn into things that we don't even know about, and that's why they're trying to push this thing out so hard? Or thirdly, do they know that there's something controllable in the vaccine itself, and that's why they're trying to push it so hard? In other words, is it really the Wuhan virus that we're so worried about, or is it the vaccine itself that we should be more worried about? And I don't have the answer to that. The first one I do believe is correct. The second two, I don't know.
Well, I think it's fairly obvious that the Wuhan virus itself, for most people, 99.997% of the people, the Wuhan virus is less dangerous, less risky than the vaccine. Not purely based on numbers, but almost everybody who can survive this, at 99.997% of the people, especially the people that are under age 65, they're going to build up immunity naturally, which is going to be far better than the vaccine.
True.
It was proven in studies.
True.
So it's better for you to actually go through this. And there's plenty of treatments. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there now that they're not telling you about that work very well. So why the vaccine? Well, it produces a spike protein. What happens with that spike protein? I don't think anyone knows yet. We know that there's warnings about certain vaccines in Europe and other places with people getting Guillain-Barré, which is a neurological disease. We know there's risk to pregnancy. Why is it so important that we all take this needle before it's FDA approved, given where we are with this pandemic, or I don't even think it's a pandemic anymore?
Then what you're really saying is we throw out the middle one because we know the virus isn't worse than what it is, because the data and just the people we know that get it, you know, can prove that, yourself included. So then that leads us to the power and the vaccine dovetailing into one another, and there is a ton of, well, at least as far as we know, Steve, unknowns with the vaccine, although there are those out there that would say that, no, there's a lot of the powers that be that know exactly what the vaccine is and does. They're just not willing to tell us. And I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, Steve. I don't wear a tinfoil hat, but it makes you wonder, when it comes to this vaccine being pushed so hard on a populace that frankly has already reached herd immunity. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But the reality is, we're already there. Why are we still pushing this so hard?
Yeah, and that's the most important question. And then what happens when you get down the road a little ways? You go, see, mRNA vaccines saved us, saved the world. We've got another one that's going to help you ward off something that hasn't hit you yet. And before you know it, do you know what's in this vaccine? Does anybody really know what's in this vaccine? I mean, it's not FDA approved. They haven't done all the paperwork on it. I worry a lot about us just getting used to getting vaccinated for stuff and having no idea what's in those vaccines. I'm not a conspiracy theorist either, but when you can't make sense, basic sense of what they're saying, and most doctors, I should say it's not most doctors, some doctors will push this vaccine on you hard. Some of it may have to do with the bonus payments they get paid from Medicare, which is almost doubled what they make for getting people vaccinated on COVID right now. Why are they doubling the payment to doctors? I don't get that. You know, why are they pushing their patients so hard? And then the second thing is, there's plenty of doctors out there who say it's just too risky at this point. You know, there's too many problems, too many adverse reactions, too many people getting hurt by it, 10 times more people in urgent cares because they've got vaccine reactions than there are because they have COVID. What doesn't the government, what isn't the government telling us, John?
I think that's the, you know, ultimately the million-dollar plus question. And Steve, I'm not sure that we'll ever really know those answers. You know, we may some, you know, 15, 20 years down the road, but I don't think we're going to know in the next year, year and a half to two. I mean, I think this is going to be something that we continue to learn and grow, and more things get leaked out. And, you know, humans are really good about that. I will say that when something is not going the way it's supposed to, you know, humans have a really good way of sort of, you know, saying things that maybe they wouldn't otherwise say. And, you know, a listener called in and said, you know, follow the money. And I get that, too. I think that's a part of this as well. When you look at the drug companies and all the money that's there and so on. And, yes, I agree with, you know, the follow the money to a certain extent. Although, Steve, you know, you can say follow the money, but you also have to look at the other, you know, power grabs and things that have gone on that have nothing to do with money but strictly have to do with the government ending up more in our lives than they were prior.
Yeah. And then when you really think about this, John, the, you know, like Florida, for example, you know, Ron DeSantis is fighting back on this, and Missouri, and, you know, I think this Delta variant, and, you know, we've seen average infections. They're not cases. That is a misnomer. It's not
right.
A case if you get a second test that's positive, or if you get a positive test and you're not sick. That's not a case. But the infection positivity stuff is rising into the 25,000 a day right now, but the death rate's still fairly low. In
right.
fact, it's 1% or less on a daily basis, which is the lowest it's ever been. Why? A, because we can treat it. B, people are figuring out how to survive it that don't need treatment. C, a lot of the people who have been vaccinated are older, so it's the younger people who are getting it. My take on that is, you know what, if the death rate among young people is still as low as it's been, them getting it and building up their own immunity to it is the best possible thing that could happen to us.
Yet we continue to see, at least I know I do, and I'm sure you do as well, it is daily. It's not almost daily. It's daily that I read an article somewhere, whether it's local, national, regional, talking about all of this, you know, Delta variant and the spikes of. And number one, Steve, I look at the data every single day. Unless there's just an individual small town or small city or small county that's having some spikes, overall, state by state and as a country, there's no spike. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's a really, if there is a spike, it's a really small spike. And the death rate, the 7-day moving average on the death rate has continued to fall. It's in a very downward trend. And yet then you have, I happen to be in Michigan right now, there was a kid here last weekend, I think, 13 years old, took his second vaccine, was dead in less than 24 hours, a very healthy young man. You know, the inflammation and the myocarditis. It's not like this is a surprise. There were plenty of people who knew that mRNA vaccines, the reason why they've never been used before is they cause inflammation. And inflammation is a bad thing.
Yeah, inflammation is bad. You know, for those that are listening real quick, and we talk about it a lot on Wednesdays, but you know, inflammation, and Steve, you know this, is, you know, the leading cause of cancer and all sorts of other problems we have in the body. Inflammation is our enemy. It's not our friend.
No, that's absolutely right. And so if you're going to introduce something that causes inflammation, especially at almost 300% of normal in young men, why are you still pushing it? Why are you still pushing it with pregnant women? Why have we seen zero adjustments in the vaccine strategy with regards to who gets it based on what we've seen with adverse events?
Great question.
Nothing. They keep with the same message over and over again.
Yeah, that's a great question. And my other fear is, you know, we go back to the governmental power thing, is, you know, when I listen to people just in public talking about, you know, the vaccine, quote unquote, and granted there's three and I get that, but when they start talking about vaccines in general, I'm just awestruck, Steve, at how much they're kneeling at the altar of vaccines as Americans, where I don't know that they would have done that, you know, 2 years ago. In fact, I know they wouldn't have done it 2 years ago. Shows you how well they've brainwashed these people.
Well, yeah, I mean, Harris and Biden both said during debates that they wouldn't take the vaccine because they didn't trust Donald Trump. And now they're all over it, right?
I mean, right. It's all now they're going to go door to door to make sure you and I that, you know, don't have it are going to get it.
Yeah, and then this whole thing with Gavi, which is this vaccine organization that's existed worldwide for, you know, a decade or two. They're pushing COVAX, which is the new vaccine that's coming out. And it's like they are jumping up and down for this. And, yeah, there's a bunch of countries in the world who probably need a little bit more access to vaccines for people who really want it. But why do I have to take it? Why does John Rush have to take it? What are they so fixated on? If I choose to take the risk on a non-FDA-approved experimental vaccine,
right,
why does the government have such a big problem with that? Especially since they already survived COVID. What's their issue with that?
That is a great question.
I think it's a freedom killer.
You said earlier that, you know, our own antibodies and us, you know, handling this on our own as, you know, with our own bodies, especially those of us that are, you know, young and able to do so. Great question, Steve. I other than, you know, a power grab and a money grab, I don't have an answer to that because there, honestly, there's not one. There isn't common sense. There is no answer other than that, Steve.
I know, and they're in trouble right now. If you really look at the statistics, you know, they're getting from 51.38% to 52.4% took them a long time,
yep,
in terms of people vaccinated.
Yep.
We went from 3 million, 4 million vaccines a day to 550,000 and falling. You know, I think there's another thing at play, and we were talking about, you know, churches earlier. I've been to a lot of churches in the last 2 years because of, you know, the campaign,
right,
and I went to one again this weekend that I don't normally go to. And I think pastors are starting to push back. They're starting to realize that while they thought that they had to be politically correct to drive membership, it actually drove people away.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're now starting to talk about the fight. And I heard that this weekend very clearly from a young,
nice,
Hispanic pastor saying, there is a battle to be fought,
nice,
and God expects you to fight it. And the evil is rising, and it's not going to come and hit you right in the forehead. It's going to sneak up on you, and it's been sneaking up on us for a while.
Mm.
We've got to get back in this fight, and we've got to stand right in front of the, you know, the middle unaffiliated voters and other people who we need to vote for us and stand there and say, guys, here's the truth. If you don't want to live with the truth, don't vote for me. But if you want the truth, yeah, is there are moral things that matter. You know, we do not need to have transgendered athletes in female sports with male bodies. There are just some things, and I feel compassion for those folks, but man, there's some things that you just don't do, and making it okay, it just isn't right.
I agree. All right, let's shift gears. We got about 3 minutes or so left with you, and I did want to cover this for just a moment. You sent me this article about his competition, yeah, executive order when it comes to business. Talk about that for a moment, if you would. I haven't talked about it yet this week.
Yeah, it's basically, and I looked through the executive order, you know, in reasonable detail. Basically, he's got this executive order that's designed to prevent competition from putting people out of business. And in reality, that's what the design of competition is, right? I mean, if you're going to compete in a market and you're going to do well, then you should be able to be successful. But
right,
the way he's looking at it is, it reminds me so much of Ayn Rand's dog-eat-dog rule and Alice Shrugged, which basically said, if there's eight people competing in the steel market and one is dominant and seven are failing, you got to prop those seven up and you got to penalize the one that's competing and winning.
Mm.
I mean, this is going to happen to you, right? It's going to happen to every business.
Right.
But John Rush's own business, right? If you're too successful at helping people, then they're going to say, you know what, John, you're doing your job too well, so we're going to charge you a tax on the resources you use because your competition is going out of business and people don't have jobs anymore. And this type of thing is exactly the kind of liberal socialist thing,
yep, yep,
that they're going to put in play quietly while the vaccine controversy is going on. And we're all going to get hurt by it. Every single business will be hurt by this.
Yeah, that's the other fear that I've got is a lot of this posturing and things that are going on, even the thing we played with, you know, the news conference or the press release or, you know, the White House conference, I should say, with Jen Psaki talking about social media and so on. You often wonder, Steve, how many other things are going on? You know, are they using Donald Trump's playbook? In other words, they're doing that. They're pushing this. They're pushing that. They're talking about the vaccine all the while behind the scenes doing things like this executive order.
I know. And it's interesting because when you look at the sort of pattern of behavior, right, we've got too much unemployment being paid on a weekly basis. So many people haven't gone back to work. We have a brand new child credit going into play.
Yep.
People are going to get paid between $250 and $300 for their children to go to childcare. Well, do you get the child care payment, even if you don't work.
Right. How's that going to work?
I think you do.
I'm most likely
right?
going. Yeah, I think it's going to be no matter who. You know, if you've got kids, you're going to get it. Period.
Right. So you're going to get the child care credit, and you know, plenty of people struggle with that. But there's a problem there when you're paying people to stay home and paying you to take care of your own children. Why would you ever go to work?
Well, you wouldn't. Part of when you know, came into the show today, and it was so really hyped up and mad about having to do jury duty today, Stephen. I realize jury duty is one of those things you do for your country and so on. But yet, I'm looking at the amount of numbers of folks in Colorado that we have on unemployment that we're writing these checks to. And I'm thinking to myself, that room today was probably full of, and I could tell from most of the folks that were in there, at least half of that room were from working stiffs like myself. And I'm thinking to myself, why are we not doing jury selection out of the unemployed that we're writing checks to already? Why are we not going on that pool versus the one that we're drawing from, which is voter registration rolls?
I know. And as I told you, I was on a jury, a capital murder case, almost 3 weeks of my life in the middle of the most important quarter I had in business in decades. And I sat there in a courtroom and listened to testimony and couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
And, you know, I was happy to be a juror and do my job, but I have the same questions in my mind. Where is the balance?
There isn't.
We used to have capitalism by its very nature overlaid or, you know, laid on top of a strong moral spiritual base.
Right.
It gives you a balanced ecosystem.
That's right.
So, you know, on the capitalist side, you can be greedy. You can look to do things that maybe other people don't agree with. But the moral foundation of who you are is going to make you head in the right direction. We've lost that ecosystem. We've lost that balance.
Agree.
And if we don't get it back, we're going to push ourselves to a place nobody wants to be in America.
Steve, as always, it's a joy having you. I appreciate it very much. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
Thanks, John.
Good stuff as always. And